Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Welcome to Wednesdays with Willa. I'm Willa White, your host, and this is my Lilydale Radio show. And I have a special guest with me today, Ron Nagy. Thank you for being here today, Ron.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to introduce Ron in a little bit, but I want to get a few housekeeping things out of the way. My radio show is an opportunity for you to come and chat with me and my guests about various spiritual topics, mediumship, faith, and family. And you can join in the discussion with on-air Q&A, and the call-in number is 818-739-8818, again, 818-739-8818. And for those of you who are following on Facebook, you know that my Facebook page is Willa White Medium. You can like and share and follow and all that good stuff. If you need to find me on my website, it's willawhite.com. So I'm so excited. My guest today is Ron Nagy, and he is the Lilydale historian, and he's also the curator of the museum. And he knows a lot about the history of Lilydale, so this is what I'm going to call Ask the Historian Day. You can call in, you can ask questions about Lilydale history, get excited about that which has gone before, and the fact that we are making history as we speak, and that Ron is constantly collecting that data for the future generations to come, and those who enjoy spiritualism and who are going to find spiritualism eventually. So, Ron Nagy, tell us a little bit about yourself, Ron. How long have you been living in Lilydale? How long have you been the historian?
I've been in Lilydale since 2002. Mm-hmm. I've been a historian since 2005.
And I know that you did a lot of work with the previous historian, Joyce LeJudis.
Yes, the previous historian and I spent hours and hours together, and she drilled me with all the history. And when she passed on all that history and her paperwork to me, and I've been organizing that and putting it into writing books about it.
That's a lot to do. A lot of papers to go through. Most people will be like, oh, but Ron enjoys it. That's good.
And yeah, it gives me something to do, and it's like I love it.
Yeah. And so in the summertime especially, people will be in the Lilydale Museum, and they'll come from all over the world. And I know you've got a map up. Do you still have the map up that people put their little push pins in, or where they live in the world? And
I've been doing something different, though. I've been frisking the people when they come in. I asked them if they have a coin or something from their country, so I could have a souvenir in the museum from their country that they were there, plus the pin they put in the map.
Oh, wow.
This past year, I had somebody come in from Japan and somebody from Norway, and one came in from Russia.
Wow. And I know you also do the walking tours.
I stay in the museum for the walking tours now because my feet won't take the walks anymore. But, the Saturday history walk I do, but I don't do the night history walk.
And you've also developed a pamphlet, a brochure for people if they're wanting to come to Lilydale and kind of do a little self-guided tour. And so if you guys are ever here in Lilydale, especially in the summer, or even off-season, I think you might be able to find these too. There's a little pamphlet thing, and it'll tell you a little bit about each location that's a public building in Lilydale. So if you're wanting to check that out, you look for this yellow thing with a map on it.
Like a self-walking tour.
Yeah, a self-walking tour. Maybe eventually it will go audio. Where they could rent little things, maybe.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. So tell us, what is in the Lilydale Museum? A few of the pieces. It's got a lot in it, folks. But what's in the Lilydale Museum?
Well, I guess the oldest and most important objects are the peddler's trunk,
mm-hmm.
and the Fox Family Bible,
mm-hmm.
and there's some other miscellaneous things from the Fox Cottage. That's one of the highlights. And another highlight is the precipitated spirit paintings.
Yes. And what are the precipitated spirit paintings? Could you give them a brief description of what that would be?
They're from the Bank sisters and the Campbell brothers. They had personal seances or group seances, and then they would have a canvas, and a picture would appear on the canvas without them painting it.
They would just provide the supplies, and then the spirit would paint it.
You would have the paints in a room for the residue.
Mm-hmm.
There's residue in the air of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the residue more or less materializes a deceased person's picture on the paper that was special to you,
mm-hmm.
or to the group.
Right. So someone's face that they would recognize, a loved one that's passed over, would appear on the canvas. And some
yeah.
of them were quite big canvases
yeah,
that they would
do. They're, somebody says, well, what are they? Well, they're not oil. They're not watercolor. They're everything in your air, like cat hair, dust, lint.
And those have been analyzed?
Pollen. I have a gnat.
A gnat?
I found a gnat in one of the paintings. And it's a 130-year-old gnat. It's scary if you look at it, because I have a magnifying glass, and if you look at it, I just found that a few years ago.
Wow. And so with these, this is something that spirit would do over the course of maybe an hour, and there's no way a human person
yeah,
could
anywhere
do
from
that kind of level of
to
art.
An hour and a half. Azure is the most.
And he's up in the Lilydale Maplewood
yeah,
Hotel.
That's the Maplewood Hotel. Has a pic. It's Azure. It's life size.
Mm-hmm. And Ron's brought his books today. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But he's got some wonderful pictures of Lilydale artifacts and portraits that are in his books. So if you're ever curious or want to have some of those to look at home, you'd probably be interested in his books. And, of course, we'll talk more about those. Oh, yep, people are commenting. They love Ron's new book. Yes, we'll be talking about that shortly, too. So with the precipitated art paintings, those are very special. There are a few things that I always gravitate toward when I'm in the museum. And let's show them the picture real quick, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So this is one of the Azure painting that's huge, and it's in the Maplewood Hotel, which is here in Lilydale. And this is a spirit painting done by the Campbell brothers. And so that's something. And then this other one is been nicknamed Nora, but this was done also by the Campbell brothers as a spirit painting. And there's no way you could get that detail in just an hour or an hour and a half with painting. So it's fascinating. It's an aspect of physical mediumship. And it'd be nice if we had those kind of folks around today. we focus more on the mental mediumship. Now, what are some other artifacts? I know we've got spirit trumpets. We've got things that are associated with physical mediumship, the slate writing things that they've done. There are also artifacts from old previous mediums. Like I know you've got signs from the registered mediums that have been here in Lilydale from long ago even.
There's signs from the mediums that the families will give me. So
yeah.
A lot of families keep their loved one's medium son as a memento. But there's trumpets there from the mediums. There's other things that was used to do phenomena. There's I try to get pictures of all the most popular past mediums and healers
mm-hmm.
and. We put them. We have those one section that where they all gather.
They all gather in there. Now I know you also have information if people are wanting to look up the individual houses here in Lilydale, like the history of people who have owned the houses and the pictures you have. Select, not every house is able to be represented, and sometimes history doesn't stay where we want it to.
I have index cards and a book where every property in Lilydale since we were established, whoever leased that property, I have the name,
the records,
and how long the lease lasted, and then when the next person took it over and the next person. So don't put a sign on your house that your house was built in 1890. If I can, I might have it as 1888 or something like
right.
that.
Right. You want to check with Ron before
check
you.
Check with me first. And I also have all that in my computer, so.
Well, I know people approach you because they've heard tell that their grandma, grandpa, or even their great whatever uncle was a medium in Lilydale, and they approach you.
I got a good one yesterday.
You got a good one. Tell us about that.
I got a good one 3 days ago, and it like blew me away. This like some people say, well, my grandmother or my aunt or my family, la la la, my great. They had a restaurant here. Do you have any information on them? Well, they gave me the last name, Latimer. I don't have any information on a Latimer. But they told me restaurants. So I looked up where all the old restaurants were. And it took me all the way back down to where the post office is now.
Mm-hmm.
There was a whole line of buildings there. I call it our little strip mall, our shopping district.
That's where it was.
I went to the leasee cards,
mm-hmm.
and I found that they leased number 25, which was four buildings from the post office.
Ah.
And between Helmets, between Cayman's house.
Yeah.
And right where the little park is now, where they have
oh, yeah.
that sign,
mm-hmm.
that's exactly number 25 property, and that's where this restaurant is.
And that's where the restaurant
and
was.
And I found out when Mr. Latimer, he passed in 1926, and then his wife kept the property until 1936, and she let somebody else run it, but she still leased the property. And the girl sent me, I told her, I don't know if I'm right or wrong. So I sent the girl this information. She says, oh my God, she said, that's something, that's what I have here.
Lovely.
She won't give me a hint.
Oh.
But I found that information for
her. She sent you digging and you got
it. I get a thrill from that because it gives me a chance to get into the history
your
a little
history
bit
muscle.
More. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that
place that used to be, that is a park, right next to the post
yeah,
office.
It's a little park.
It's a little green park with maybe a bench in it.
Yeah, it's
a little
about,
swampy.
Well, someday. It's 40 foot wide, 50 foot long.
As most of them are.
Because that's the size of the lots on the side of town from North Street to South Street. They're 40 foot wide, 50 foot deep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that's where that was. See, there are things that come and go, and that's how history is shaped. And I know that when they first were developing Lilydale, they had tents and things, and eventually people built houses, and so now we have what is today. And it's amazing the way that the progression of history has gone through the streets and that they then added on after North Street. Because it goes south.
South Street to North Street.
Mm-hmm.
And all the properties were leased and houses were built. They needed more room, so they bought from North Street all the way to the lake. That's the second half of Lilydale.
Right.
And those lots became 50 foot wide and
mm-hmm.
60 foot deep because they, we're living here all year round. Let's
yeah.
make the lots a little bit bigger. Because if people might want to have a garden or whatever, back then they didn't think about cars or garages.
I kind of wish they had.
And they didn't. Nobody could keep your horse on your property.
Right.
They had a horse barn where they kept all the horses and the carriages.
And those are up where the maintenance garages are behind
us. No, the horse barn was actually right where the firehouse sat.
Oh, okay, where the fire hall is.
Yeah, where the maintenance has the garages, they were always called the car barns.
Ah.
Because they put the vehicles in there when the people that lived here would rent one like they do today.
Right. So, my goodness. See, how Lilydale can develop.
The reason for everything, sometimes you have to think about it, and sometimes, like, I have to put my head in their heads. What were they thinking when they did this? Okay. What were they thinking? But they had, when Lilydale started, everybody thinks, well, they put a bunch of tents up, but they didn't just place a tent anywhere. They already had the vision of a little village in the woods. They had all the lots already surveyed and marked. And
in what year did you find it?
1879, they bought the property.
Right.
1880 is when they had their first camp.
Mm-hmm.
But the lots, they were thinking ahead of time. These people.
What year did they think ahead of time? Do you know?
I think they were thinking before 1879.
Wow.
These people had a vision. They were mediums.
Yes.
They
yes.
had a vision maybe 5 years even before Lilydale started. They had that vision. And they laid out the lots and the streets and everything. And then when you come in, you rented or leased a lot
right.
for 9 years, or rented a lot for the season and put your tent there. People just didn't put a bunch of tents up like Indians or Canadians. This was a well-organized camp.
Wow.
And what I found this past year is a picture, and it was my idea all the way from the beginning that when people came here, they came here by train. There was no main road.
Right.
There was no vehicles. There was an old path. There was an old road come down from Dunkirk that took 4 hours on horseback and carriage
Ouch.
To come down here.
So that's why they had the train station, which
but
was.
But you couldn't bring your tent.
Wasn't that up past the boat launch, like at the corner of?
And it's just the same now. It's Glasgow Road.
Yeah, I'm glad
that's the road.
That's
the road
and
where the poles are for the electric and the rails to trails path. That was the train tracks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But when people came here, everybody didn't bring their tent. Everybody couldn't carry that. They didn't bring their pots and pans to cook. They didn't bring all that stuff. I found a picture where they were looking in the front gate, and there was a big building just a little bit to the left where the grass area starts.
Okay.
Next to Cods.
Mm-hmm.
There was a big building there and I think that was the building that they rented their tents from and things like that.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So they would get off at the train, and then they'd have to walk or kind of be shuttled over. But they didn't
you
have the bridge back
come
then.
In. You couldn't come in.
They didn't have the bridge, and they didn't have Dale Drive.
No.
They didn't. I don't know if anybody realizes this out there in Facebook land, but they did not have Dale Drive. Before we tell them about that, we should tell them the call-in number again. 818-739-8818. Please call in. Ask Ron questions. It's Ask the Historian Day. So it's 818-739-8818. Let's tell them about the bridge and Dale Drive and how that all came to be. Because Dale Drive was just, what, like a deer path that people could walk
on. It was a walking path for fishermen.
Yeah.
And it went all the way up almost to the end where they have that Park Street where you or right along. It goes along the lake where the kids swim up there.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Dale There was no Dale Drive.
There was no Dale Drive. And it was called Dale Drive because of Lilydale.
It was like a circle. Maple Avenue in Cassadaga. You
mm-hmm.
go up Maple Avenue, and you make a left, and just swing around to the next block where Dale Drive starts now,
right.
and go down to that Park Street. And that was that was their business district. They had all hotels there, and that was it. So if you came here, it was horse and buggy or by train.
So at what point did they start making it, instead of just planks of wood that you put across a little stream, at what point did they start putting a bridge in?
The bridge was here way before Lilydale. It was a flat bridge that went across.
Mm-hmm.
That was for the Alden House.
Mm-hmm.
And then when meetings started here, and Lilydale started, they put a bridge in with a hump in it. So boats could go under it. They were steamboats. And they had...
A steamboat on the lake?
Yeah, little steamboats. They had short stacks on them so they could go underneath the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And that was wooden. And... as time went on and we were getting bigger, they put another bridge in with a hump in it, basically the same, but it was steel.
Okay.
And that was the 1, 2, 3. Then the fourth bridge they put in when they had a TV center across the road at the time. They put a new bridge in there. It was cement.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it was what, 1906 or 7, you should know because you couldn't do readings very well that then, because they were pounding down, and it, like, the hearing, you couldn't hear it. I mean, you'd walk, you'd shake, but they were pounding these pillars into the ground. And that was the fifth bridge, which is now, and they say that bridge should last 100 years, so we should be good now.
That would be nice. That would be very nice.
But we don't want that pounding.
No,
that
more
pounding,
disruption, people.
And it started 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I remember that. Now, as far as Dale Drive goes, it went from the walking path. Do you know at what point it became a road? Like, it became Dale Drive?
1915.
So 1915
no,
is when...
No, sorry, 1912.
1912 is when Dale Drive became an official road.
It became an official road, and they paved it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there weren't houses there, right?
Was that just woods?
It was mostly woods. Where the circle, the big horseshoe drive is now,
mm-hmm.
was another church camp in there.
Really?
That's in the Casadega pamphlet they have for their driving tour.
Ooh.
But... They paved what is now Route 60.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then they paved down and they made it Dale Drive.
Mm-hmm.
They looped around, went over the new bridge that they built.
Right.
That was all state money for the TB Center, which was a big thing.
Right, at the Jobs Corps.
Then after the TB Center closed, it was St. John's Center. That was a Catholic training center.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then now it's the Job Corps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. And so Lilydale also helped Casadega to become bigger.
Casadega helped Lilydale survive in 1900
mm-hmm.
when Lilydale caught on fire.
So they came over with their fire.
They came along with our firemen and our ladies, and on First Street, from 7th First Street down,
mm-hmm.
all the way to Barbara Sanson's house. Her house was still there, but it got scorched.
Mm.
We lost 5 houses, and one house got pulled down, so the fire won't spread.
Right.
Where Jan and Jay had their house.
Yeah.
I have in my book, there's a picture, and it shows the side of their porch and house, how it got scorched.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows another house with a woman standing on the roof, and they had the blankets and bedspreads from the beds and rugs and carpets.
Yeah.
And they were putting them on houses so the sparks wouldn't fly.
Yeah.
And Casadega helped us a lot because we didn't have enough people. It was winter time. But that we were lucky the wind wasn't blowing, because we could have lost a lot of houses
Definitely.
At that time.
So it's kind of a symbiotic relationship between Casadega and Lilydale as they were both growing.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Because we don't want angry neighbors.
No. We're pleasant people. We're pleasant people. That's how we like it.
Yeah.
So, you know, as Lilydale was growing over the years, there was a lot coming on board as far as people coming to Lilydale from all over the place, and they would have speakers that would come in, and I remember reading that they used to go to the little gazebo that's over by the hotel, Maplewood Hotel, and they would have lectures there. Is that true? They would have a bunch of people deep there. I remember reading that at one point. Only at the auditorium.
At the auditorium, the gazebo was for the band.
Right, they had a band.
There was a bandstand in front of Greg's house.
Okay.
Where the pine tree is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there, the other gazebo was still there by the hotel.
Right.
They were only for music.
Ah.
They had speeches in the auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
They also had meetings where somebody could talk up here at Forest Temple.
At the Forest Temple,
and
sure.
Just,
mm-hmm.
They would have readings just like we do today at Inspiration Stump.
Yeah. But, you know, those Victorians and onward, they weren't, here in Lilydale, they weren't very snobby. They seemed to enjoy music and dancing and having a good time with, I know out at the beach area, they had a Ferris wheel out there at one point. and didn't they have a bowling alley too?
They had more fun than we did.
Yeah, we need to bring fun back, people.
They danced. They had two dances a day. And if there wasn't a dance here, they would take the boat. And they would go into Casadega. And in the business district there, they had hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And they danced. They dance there, then they get the boat, come down here, and they dance.
Uh-huh.
They across the bridge where the fishing area is now, the dock, there was a hotel there.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
the Irondequoit, wasn't it?
What really baffles me is in Victorian days and the older days, they always danced on the second or third floor.
That's what I remember seeing in your book,
and
too.
They would rent. They would eat
downstairs. Eat downstairs, and then they'd go up.
The second floor was for rooms to let.
Uh-huh.
The third floor was for dancing.
Why? Why would you want that pounding over your head?
I have no idea. They did it in Casadega.
I mean, that's
they
a lot of stress on the building.
I thought maybe they just did it here in Lilydale. Well, they did it in other towns. I checked Corey, Pennsylvania. I checked Royersford, Pennsylvania. They danced on the second or third floors.
I wonder why. If anybody knows, you must tell me. I see we have a caller on.
Okay.
Let's see if they have a question for you today. So I'm going to take caller with ending in the numbers 4943. Again, 4943. And
good morning.
Welcome to the show. Good morning. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name's Stacy, and I'm calling from Wisconsin.
Hi, Stacy. Do you have a question for Ron? This is historian day.
I have a question both for you or Ron, if you would like to answer. The history of Lilydale and the buildings I've been enjoying so much, but what about the people? Do you have a favorite spiritualist or medium from the past that you just can't get enough of, or... you know, have a good story about, because there's, you know, so many people from all over, but what about, like, the past mediums or the, you know, forerunners or founders?
Sure.
She's reading my mind.
Uh-huh.
Jenny Hagen.
Jenny Hagen, okay.
Jenny Hagen, when I first came here as a visitor, I was sitting in the assembly hall, and this picture kept on looking at me. And every time I look at the picture, the eyes would look at me. So I moved my seat. any eyes were still looking at me. And I fell in love with her.
Aww.
And she's like a spirit guide.
Sure.
And my next book is going to be, I did a lot of research on and genealogy on her life. I'm going to write a book on her life. But she was a spiritualist minister, and she would travel around. She would lecture. She would go to other states, and she would start churches and things like that. And it broke my heart when I found out she passed away in 1907. She was going to do a funeral in Nebraska. Is it Nebraska, the first state for women's suffrage? But she kind of half tripped, and she nicked her arm, and it made a sore, and it got infected. And back then they didn't have anything for tetanus. She was dead in 3 days. My son went into trance one time and tried to bring her through for some information. And his arm hurt him so bad, he had to stop his trance. I had to bring him out of it. But that's my favorite.
Oh, wow.
And that was, she was born in 1850.
Wow. I'd have to say, as my favorite, I love all the folks that are up in the assembly hall. I love going to church there, workshops in the assembly hall. They have got all these wonderful photos of people who've been important to spiritualism and to Lilydale. It's hard to pick just one person. But I think right now my favorite is Abby Pettengill, and it's because she is a past president of Lilydale, and she did a lot to help Lilydale in some formative years. And I think she's a pretty interesting woman herself. She met Marion Skidmore on a train, and Marion Skidmore told her about Lilydale, and she's like, I'm getting off. Let's go. So she had a real sense of intuitively, this is my moment. I'm going into it. I like that she was engaged in that to that level, that she could allow herself to do it. And she had money.
She was very wealthy, but she didn't abuse it.
No.
She put her and her family,
mm-hmm.
they put a lot of money into Lilydale. They fixed up buildings.
The Leolin Hotel. They really
But they didn't use their money. They didn't splash it to spoil people.
Right.
They did it to fix Lilydale up.
Yeah.
They didn't try to change spiritualism or change anything. They helped us along.
Yes, and Abby Pettengill, for those of you who don't know, she was the first woman president of Lilydale, and so she's quite interesting.
But in 1907, she became a very minor figure in Lilydale because of the San Francisco earthquake. That's the end of my Spirits of Lilydale book, the first one.
Okay.
Because they had all their family money was tied up in San Francisco. It's like, don't put all your eggs in one basket.
They did.
They had all their eggs almost in one basket.
And it wiped things out.
They almost went bankrupt. When the earthquake hit San Francisco, it leveled it. So they pulled all their money out of Lilydale. They sold their interest, and eventually, within a few years, she sold the Leland Hotel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she still remained a member. She kept her house here, but she lived till 1926.
Wow. On a much different income.
Well, she was a billionaire, and when a billionaire goes bankrupt, they probably only have $1 million left.
Right.
Which would be scary.
Oh, my goodness. I hope that helps answer your question, Stacey. I'm glad.
Oh, yeah. Thank
you.
Thank you so much.
Well, if anybody else wants to call in, we don't have too much time left. We need to talk about some of your books. Okay, sir?
Okay.
So what was the first book? Let's show them what the first book
was. Oh, let's see. The first book was this one.
Was The Precipitated Spirit Paintings. And with this one, he's got text, but he also has pictures. You know, if you're my youngest child, he loves to have pictures. And I think we all like
pictures
to see
are in
some
the middle.
Of them. And look at, he's marked all of these different important things in his book so he can reference
I'm a
it
highlighter.
Himself.
There's some pictures there.
Oh, there's Abe Lincoln. That's a pretty good rendition of him. So that's Precipitated Art Painting. And what was the second
and
one?
I did the Spirits of Lilydale in a yellow cover this way.
I have that in my reading room.
But I did
the
a revised one. Edition now.
The revised edition looks like this, people, and it's a more expanded version, too.
This is a more expanded version. There's a timeline in it from 1871 to when he built, from when they built the Healing Temple. And I added phenomena.
You added the phenomena.
I added a chapter of phenomena in this book, which wasn't in the first book.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more pictures and more insight in this
more
book.
More insight in that one. So yeah, if you're wanting, this is a really awesome one. And then what was the third one?
The third one was the slate writing book.
Slate writing invisible intelligence. And they would have chalk. And they have slates, like
chalk
the little old-time
school
chalk slates.
And it more or less materialized on, like, this precipitate. Why they did that is the medium did not have to interpret a reading or a message from a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The message was right on the slates.
And there are some slates in the Lilydale Museum if anybody wants to see them. I've seen them with the... Some of them have pretty flowers on them, even.
Yeah.
Like they did that. So there's some interesting. And, you know, I see a fraud section on there too. So you got to mention that. Okay, so fourth book, Chronicles of. I was gonna say Narnia because I love Chronicles of Narnia. Chronicles of Lilydale: Free Thinkers and Spiritualism, Courage and Determination, The Early Years. So this is awesome.
That has everything in it.
He says this has everything. Everything, Ron?
That is the source where I pull all my information from the old history. I was going to keep it till I die, but I said I'm going. Maybe I better put it out before then.
Thanks for sharing well ahead.
I put out, there's 200,000 words of research in there, and if you want to know it, it's there. It's on Amazon, and it's in an e-book.
Wow, so you can get that. You've got different
things. Yeah, you get it on an e-book, and it's better to research that way.
Right.
But everything is in there.
Well,
there's no pictures.
So you probably could just put in what words you were, you know, the person you wanted to know about, and it would go and search for it, right?
Yeah, if you put in Ron Nagy, click on Ron Nagy in that, or go to my website or Facebook.
So go to Ron's website, which is ronnagy.net, N-E-T.
Yeah.
Right?
Or ronnagy.net/Ron's blog.
Ron's blog.
It's on there.
Yeah, he has a blog.
Or it's on Ron Nagy Writer Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And just click on Amazon.
Yeah, so those are interesting books. If anybody's fascinated, as I am, as many of you are, about the history of Lilydale, those are some great books to have as resources and to look at those. And I think it's wonderful that you've been able to compile that kind of information. I'm sure there's more that will come down the pike. A lot of people do donate things to the Lilydale Museum because they want to see that history kept going, kept alive, and that's important. That's very important. I have to say, one of my favorite things in the museum, I don't know why I feel this way, but Ira and William Davenport have a scrapbook, and it has their newspaper clippings, and they were very famous mediums/entertainers, wouldn't you say?
Cabinet mediums
that would do that in a public forum, and they traveled all over the world, and they even knew... Doyle, I believe, too. But it's something
everybody
knew Sir Conan. If you want to know the history of spiritualism, you got to look at Sir Arthur Conan's book. It's a big, thick book. And that's, I think, pretty wonderful.
On every continent of the world. I had a travel log for them, and they were in China, the Middle East, They were in, on the African continent. They went down to South and Central America.
Yeah.
They were everywhere.
And why is it, I can't remember, which brother is it that's buried in the Mayville Cemetery?
Ira is buried in the Mayville Cemetery.
Mayville, New York is not far from us. Probably, what, 20, 25 minutes?
Yeah, I'm friends with the one relative.
Oh.
And now that they have a lot more of the Davenports are buried, and they have their names on the stone.
Oh, they've got made it more official then.
But the travel station just put in a bid for, they want to do a special on that book.
Really?
Yeah.
On the Davenport?
They're working with the
on that scrapbook?
Now. On the scrapbook.
Oh.
Yeah.
So they want to do...
They wanted to come in this
a documentary?
Month, but we have to make arrangements.
Ooh, that might happen, people.
That'll be on the travel station. The Mystery
what do you mean
Museum.
What's the travel
Mystery
station?
Mystery Museum.
Mystery Museum. I don't watch TV.
But that's the travel station.
Okay. Is that like a... It's a channel that's
it's
on TV?
It's a channel. It's television. It's a new invention.
I know. I'm back in the old
days. It's not Netflix or Amazon or anything like that. It's like you turn the dial to
yes.
the TV with
yes.
the rabbit ears.
Uh-huh. So that becomes, and that's one of my favorite things that we actually have that. It's incredible.
A rabbit ear TV?
No, I'm talking about the Davenport Brothers.
Oh.
You never know. We might put a TV in the museum. Just to... Have it in
I
the
had
time
one.
Capsule.
I had one, but I can't use his name. But it wasn't working right,
yeah.
And I gave him a hammer and a screwdriver. And I don't have the TV anymore, but I have the picture of the TV after he was done with it. I can't name his name, but you you had him on your show sometime.
Oh, okay.
I got him dead to rights.
I do have to mention another thing that's a favorite of mine. I love that you have these drawings of people who are being attended by angels and spirit guides and spirit loved ones when they're going through a healing crisis. There's the one where the angels are gathered around the doctors and the patient during a surgery, and you can see the love that's going. And they're just like black and white drawings that are done.
That's an entire book of 50 drawings. They're more or less channeled through her.
Who did those drawings?
Oh, God.
I know. I put them on the spot, folks. It's my fault.
It's too early.
It's too early.
Well, anyway, she would do groups of pictures that would give you a feeling and a meaning.
Yeah.
Like those pictures were about how your body resurrects through when you pass over, before you pass over, the angels are watching over you and your spirit guides. And then as you're passing over, when you're passing over, they're still with you. And they're standing around there and looking at you and they're talking to you. You're talking to them and you're making excuses for living a bad life or a good life. And, I mean, you know. And you're making decisions and things like that. It's that's what she wanted us to do. It's thought-provoking.
And do you know approximately what year those were done or published?
They were never published. It was started in the 30s.
Uh-huh.
And I think she went into the latter 40s.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lady now, a Reverend Herrick. She's doing extensive research on those pictures.
Oh my gosh, time goes so fast, and it's been fun talking about history with you, Ron. I really do appreciate it, and I hope that you guys tune in for next week. I'll be having Judith Rochester on as my guest, and she is an amazing woman who does teach mediumship development classes here in Lilydale, and she's an author as well, and the topic will be spirit guides and teachers. So if you're wanting to know more about how to develop your relationship with a it's going to be a great show for you to tune into, and that will be next Wednesday, January 31st, same time, same channel, 10 o'clock a.m. And there are other shows for Lilydale Radio as well. On Tuesday nights, we have 8 p.m. with Colleen Manderzijn, Embracing Your Essence. Wednesday mornings with me at 10 a.m. And then at Wednesday at 8 p.m. is John White, and he does a show called Journey of Light. And then on Thursday mornings at 10 a.m., we have Celeste Elliott doing Wake Up to Spirit. So there are a lot of shows to tune into, and it's a great thing that we're able to share a bit of Lilydale with you, and today Lilydale history. So we do invite you to visit the Lilydale Museum. Their hours are posted in the Lilydale Guide, but also online through the lilydaleassembly.org website, so you can take a look at things there. And then off season, sometimes you do a few
just
weekends.
Just give me a phone call and we make an appointment.
Yeah, make an appointment with Ron. It's a great place to visit, and I know when I've taught history classes there, it's been wonderful to have Ron share his knowledge with folks. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. We do appreciate you viewing and making your lovely comments to us, and thank you so much for being on the show today, Ron. I do appreciate it as well.